Thank you, Jay. So last week we started our series called Thy Kingdom Come. We talked about how central to Jesus' teaching the kingdom of God was. His first words when he began his ministry were, in fact, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news. And we talked about how when we think of the word kingdom, we often think of it as a place, maybe even heaven. But when Jesus is talking about the kingdom, he's talking about God's reign over God's creation. Every single aspect of creation, including our lives and our hearts. That rule that was made evident in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, a king like no other. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer and say, Thy kingdom come, that's really a life-altering statement. Because we are asking for God's rule to be made just as real here on earth as it is in heaven. And this is life-altering in two ways. First, because often when we think of heaven, we just think of it as a place where we find joy and are free from suffering and pain and get to see our loved ones. And that's true. But we often don't think about the fact that heaven is a state of existence where God's reign of love and holiness completely floods it. And a state of existence like that needs preparation. We are going to need to learn how to live under that type of reign, where there may not be that much room for our ego, our selfishness, or our need for control. And if we are really that excited to go to heaven where God's rule is evident and clear, then we're going to want to start living under that reign now. And secondly, if we believe like the early Christians did that God will come once again and redeem and heal the cosmos, everything we see because of his love for it, we will need to learn to love God's creation the way God loves it. And we have the opportunity here on earth to experience heaven breaking in when we take part in Jesus' earthly ministry of healing and feeding, serving, loving, and forgiving. So to pray thy kingdom come is potentially a life-altering statement. So last Sunday, the United Methodist men decided to reach out to our young people, so they cooked chili for them before a youth group. And one of the ideas they had was to remind the young people that they too were once young. So they shared some embarrassing stories that happened to them when they were in middle school and in high school. And I thought this was a great way to connect with the youth because I don't know about you, but I remember spending much of my time as a grade schooler and high schooler, just not trying to embarrass myself. And as the United Methodist men shared their stories, one of my stories came to mind. It was seventh grade. That's me, by the way. No. And I had just made the basketball team. And I was just really excited because I hadn't picked up a basketball until the year before. Unlike the other kids, I had never attended a basketball camp or played through the park district. But I began to practice a lot in my backyard, and I would go to the park and play in some pickup games. So the next year, I decided to try out for the team, and lo and behold, I'm playing for the school team, starting, in fact. So it's the first game of the season, my first official game as a member of an official team. I was excited to see what I could do. So the whistle blows, they tip the ball, and somehow it ends up in my hands. And I just took off. I mean, my instincts kicked in, and I ran like I'd never ran before, so fast. As a matter of fact, when I was looking from the corner of my eyes, nobody was even close to being around me. Boy, I thought I was quick. And I'm hearing all these people actually chanting my name. And I get to the basket and just did this, the perfect finger roll, something I had practiced for months, and just like I practiced it, it gently bounced off the backboard and went in through the basket. Just this amazing feeling overcame me until I looked back and saw the rest of the players just standing on the other side of the court looking at me. The reason that there was no one there to stop me and why people were yelling my name was because I had scored on the other team's basket. My first 2 points ever scored in an official basketball game was for the wrong team. All that work I had put in training for this moment didn't matter because I had gone in the wrong direction. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. You worked so hard at something but found out that at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. Where you spent so much time climbing up a mountain to realize that once you get there, there's nothing really there. D.L. Moody once said that our greatest fear should not be failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. In what we have come to know as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives his hearers some advice on how to make sure that this never happens. So let's read this together. We find it in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jeremy Treat, in his book called Seek First, reminds us that Jesus gave his followers many commands, but there was only one thing that he told them to seek first: the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else is just secondary. So the question for us today is, what is it that matters most in our lives? What are we building our lives around? What is at the center? Because often we don't look at our lives as really having a center. Because often we're the ones at the center. And because of that, we have this belief that we can compartmentalize our life. So many times we treat life as a kind of a dresser. We have drawers for different things. This is my family drawer. This is my work drawer, my hobbies drawer, my church/Jesus drawer. And we feel like we can keep everything organized nicely and neatly to be in full control of our lives. And most of us, we have a Jesus drawer that we open up every so often, like when the other drawers are getting messy and we need help organizing it. And we'll say things like, well, Jesus is in my heart. And we are not lying because we fully believe it. And to say that is very biblical. But these days, when we think of the word heart, we think of it in terms of feelings and emotions. But when we hear the word heart in Scripture, it refers to the heart as a center, not just of our emotions, but over our intellect and will, our desires. Speaking biblically, the heart is essentially the control room of a person, shaping every aspect of a person's life. So I like to look at our lives more like a solar system. As you know, the solar system revolves around the sun. And if the sun one day were to completely disappear, I mean, it wouldn't happen right away, but soon plants would begin to die. It'll distort the rest of the food chain, causing us to eventually run out of food. And the earth would eventually begin to freeze. But another thing that the sun does that we often forget about when thinking about that is that it keeps us positioned. Because of its mass, it exerts the greatest gravitational force in the solar system and holds the earth in orbit. It literally governs our motion. So if the sun were to disappear, after about 8 or 8.5 minutes, we would be released from its gravitational pull and would fly off into the universe at the exact same speed as we were moving around the sun. Now, theoretically, if we encounter it, it's possible that another star or something that has enough of a gravitational pull would eventually take hold of us, and we would begin to gravitate around that, because unless we have something large enough to hold us in place, we'll go off flying in who knows which direction and be pulled into who knows what orbit. But thankfully, we have the sun, which holds us intact and gives us life. And whether we like to admit it or not, just like our solar system, we all have something in our lives that exerts the most gravitational pull on all of our decisions and desires. We all have something that we rotate our life around. In essence, something that we worship, whether we really use that word or not. Something that knowingly or unknowingly, we prioritize the most and let the rest of our life rotate around it. Something that we give ultimate priority to. For some of us, it's our careers, where we essentially worship success at the expense of everything else in our lives, where we'll do anything to get that promotion, and it may not be necessarily anything evil or bad. We're not going to stab anyone else in the back for it. But soon we'll find the other important things in our lives, our family, our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being just spiraling out of control. Some of us are driven by many other things, our need for approval, our need for security. Some of us are in need for comfort or a need for fame or wealth. And these things begin to exert such a gravitational force on us that they become the center of our existence and really begin to rule us in a way, pulling us and everything we do into its orbit. And you'll find that these things are pretty harsh rulers. They'll make promises that they can't keep, and you'll find that you think that you are free when you're not really that free anymore, but are driven by something else entirely that will ultimately disappoint you and will not last. These idols, as we can call them, end up controlling us. And that's why the first of the Ten Commandments is to have no other gods before God, because these things will end up capturing our desires, our will, our hearts. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we order our lives around. What matters most? Because the thing that matters most for you will influence every other aspect of your life. So it's crucial that this thing we center our lives around is lasting and really life-giving. And for Jesus, this thing that we are meant to seek first more than anything else, more than food or drink or clothing, and order our lives around, is the kingdom of God. God's reign that is meant to bring freedom, to break the chains of those things that end up controlling us, so that we could be freed by grace to live under a good king, one who lives by self-giving love and grace. Thy kingdom come means that we want God to reign over all creation, including the parts of our lives. God's reign means that every single aspect of our lives are important to God, that every single aspect of our life can bring honor to God. And when you end up making the kingdom of God central in your life, you'll find that it shifts your mindset about everything else. It ends up bringing meaning and purpose to all the things that you do. You'll want to be a lawyer, or you'll be a lawyer because you care about justice, not status. You'll be a doctor or a nurse because you care about people's health and not wealth. You'll go into business or be a teacher or work in another industry because you care about people and not just because you need to make money. You'll be a stay-at-home parent because you know how important it is to build character in your children and take care of your family because that matters to God too. You'll be able to rest because you know that God cares about your well-being, and even if you stop for one day out of the week, you know God will sustain you. You'll find time to play because God delights in our delight, and we are creative creatures. As C.S. Lewis once said, when first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. Because we will be able to put all these things in perspective, a kingdom perspective. Because the driving force won't be just our desires, but God's desire for us. A God who cares and loves you. A God who knows what's best for you and for the world. As a pastor and as someone who's served as a chaplain before this, I had the unique opportunity to be at the bedside of people who knew that they didn't have many more hours to live. And I can tell you that there was a huge difference between those who lived kingdom lives and those who did not. Those who saw their eternal lives had already started even before this point were not afraid to die. They had few regrets because they had found meaning and purpose in their lives because they had built it around God's reign. They felt ready to go to heaven because they had already experienced it here in part on earth. Because they understood what matters most. And that's my prayer today for you and for me. That when we pray, thy kingdom come, we not only say the words, but are able to experience the beauty of what that means for each one of us here and now, so that we can truly center our lives on what it is that matters most. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just thank you for the fact that you love the world so much that you decided to enter into it, to restore and renew it. That you care so much for our earthly life, that you came in human form to feed and heal, forgive and redeem.
So we give ourselves to you, knowing that your reign is real, that your power has no limits, but you choose to rule out of love and want to reign first and foremost in our hearts, to guide us to what matters most, you and your kingdom, your desire for an eternal relationship with us. So we commit ourselves to you and your purposes. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.